Okay, good morning, Guten Erev Shabbos. We are learning this month. It's sponsored, thankfully, but it's sponsored anonymously, and I happen to know who it is, but I cannot tell you, so I'm sorry. But they sponsored it in honor of the holy soldiers who are fighting on our behalf in Eretz Yisrael, and in honor and with hopes for a safe return of the hostages who are still there. So we thank our sponsors, and we learn certainly in that tzchus. So we have two ma'arals hopefully to cover today. B'siyat Hashem Avlin Adar. I will leave some loose ends. I don't always think that's a bad thing. I think sometimes it's a good thing to leave loose ends. Gives homework. Gives Yitzi to something to write about next week in the Torah Buzz Torah or whatever.
And we have a sequel.
What do you mean?
You could have a sequel to the. Oh,
we could. Oh, Tafshin Pei. Hey, we can come back to it maybe next year. Okay, Jonah, if you're listening to this next year, you want to come back to these loose ends and keep exercising. It's good for you. It's working now, and it's going to work in the future. So, in source number one, you have the pasuk in the very beginning of the parsha. Parsha's Pekudei. Pekudei is very light on Maharals. Simple reason of the fact that it's light on Psukim. And all of the psukim are ostensibly, not literally, because nothing is repetitive in the Torah, but ostensibly repetitive in the sense that the Maharal dealt with a lot of these fundamental concepts earlier in previous parshios. But the two that we dug up here in Parshas Pekudei are very fundamental and point to some ideas that I think will broaden our horizons in general in and outside of this week's parsha. So the first pasuk, Elif Pekudei HaMishkan, Mishkan HaEdus, the Mishkan, the, you know, first iteration of the Beis HaMikdash, the Makom Mikdash, is referred to as the Mishkan HaEdus, of testimony, we'll call it, right? The Mishkan of testimony. Asher Pukad Al Pi Moshe Avodas Levim, etc. And there's accounting that takes place, accounting. There's an accounting of all the things, and they take stock of the items. Okay. Mishkan HaEdus, says Rashi. Mishkan HaEdus, you have an indent over here. Edus Li Yisrael. What Edus was there? What testimony is testified by the Mishkan? What's the testimony that's being declared by the Mishkan? Sheviter lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu al Maise HaEgel. Hashem is testifying through this Mishkan, I forgive you. I forgive you for the Chet HaEgel. Shehari Hishresh Chinaso Beinem. After all, he has now rested, he has now visited his Shechina, his divine aura, upon the Jewish people in a permanent fashion. That's the greatest sign, apparently, of forgiveness, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgives us. There's Slicha, there's Kapara, there's Mechila. Here's a Mishkan to prove it. Says the Maharal, do we really need a Mishkan for this proof? Do we really need a Beis HaMikdash to show, to testify that we've been forgiven from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Vayom Hashem Salachti, Sheviter Lam HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you look in the next source, the Gur Aryeh here in Oz Dal, in the Hartman edition, Aval Nesinas HaLuchos LiYisrael Eino Edos. We would have thought that we have the Luchos HaEdos. The Luchos are the testimony, the ultimate witness to the fact that we're forgiven. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came and gave us a second set of Luchos and said, don't worry about it, I'm still here, we're on the same team, I'm back, I'm giving you the Luchos again. Says Maral, no. Aval nesinas luchos liYisrael eino edus. That is not a proof. That is not a testimony. Now, before we get into why not, which the Maral is about to explain, you have to realize that it is true, and the Maral is not avoiding this, I don't think, but it is true that the luchos are referred to as edus. That is true, right? The word edus does refer to luchos. You have it in Parshas Achrimos, the Anan HaKatoris es HaKaporis Shela Ala Edus Velo Yamos. Al HaEdus means the Kaporis that's on top of the Edus, meaning the Luchos, right? So Luchos are referred to Luchos HaEdus. We always refer to it that way. What does Edus mean when we talk about the Luchos? So Rashi talks about it in Chumash, talks about the Edus that the Luchos bring. The Ksav HaKabal talks about it there in Achrei Mos. There are some people who say it has to do with the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu it's a testimony simply to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us mitzvos. It's a testimony to the fact that we have that bond of mitzvos. Or it's a testimony to a bris between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Jewish people, not the Hashra'as HaShechina. Or the Ksav HaKabal says, which is so interesting, he always has a creative shot, but somehow it's so creative and it's also so simple. It's like we're built into the words. So the HaKsav HaKabal writes, Rav Yaakov Tzvi Mecklenburg, that Al Derech HaPshat, he says that the idea of Edus is that we know what is an aid? A witness, which we're talking about as testimony, but what does a witness do other than testify before the testimony? They warn. They let the guy know, hey, you're about to do something wrong. They give a hasra. They give an admonition? I don't know. They tell you, don't do it. So he says the edus of the luchos is that there's azharos. There's warnings in there. Don't do this. Don't do that. There's a lot of lows. There's a lot of don't do's. So it's the luchos haedus. It's the luchos, not only testimony like testifying, but testimony of edus, of edim, who are saying, don't do, don't do, don't do. That's what the luchos are called edus. So there are reasons the luchos are called edus, but says the Maharal, apparently, this is not one of them. This is not why the luchos are called edus. Edus is specifically reserved for the Mishkan. Why? Why couldn't the luchos also be the edus that Hashem was mashra his shechina, that he forgives us, that he's back with the Jewish people? After the Chet HaEdel? Mipnei, says the Maharal, back inside, ki haTorah hi ol li Yisrael. Not something we like to hear, but it's something we have to hear. The Torah is not all fun and games. The Torah is not only a gift. It is certainly a gift. It's the greatest gift. I think that's a beferish. Hashem gave us a present. Right, it's a present. It's definitely a gift. No one denies that. It wouldn't be in the song if we denied that. It can't be. It's certainly a matana. That's for sure true. We celebrate it every Shavuos. We celebrate Simchas Torah. It's a gevaldika simcha, but it's also an ol. It's also a yoke. It's something which sounds eggy when you say it that way, but in truth, it's something which is heavy, which is serious, which is weighty, which is something we have to bear, which is something we have to live with and struggle with, and it's a burden on us. The Kaf Aleim Harkigigas, we spoke about this parshas yesterday, didn't we? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah in such a way that he displayed to us that it's not all fun and games. This is not a joke. He's holding a mountain over our head. This is a life and death. And without the Torah, it's death. Without the Torah, it's not going to work. Life's not going to be. It's a necessity. It's muchrach. We must have a Torah. So says the Maharal that you want to prove that there's a reconnection, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave us. The Torah doesn't prove that. Why? Because the Torah is necessary. It's a gift, but it's not all gift. It's not HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, hey, here's a free ride. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, here's a nice thing that you have to do. It's absolutely necessary. You will die if you don't keep the Torah. You will not be living to your existence. Existence won't exist without the Torah. That's what the whole Maisa Bereishis, Yom HaShishi, the whole Maisa Bereishis was waiting for this day of Matan Torah. It's impossible to exist without it. So you can't say, right here on the big bima, you can't say that the Eidos of the Luchos proves that Hashem forgives us and He's back with us. No, because it was necessary to have the Luchos. Aval Ashchina b'Yisrael hu Eidos. Second line in the bold here in the Guraye. But the Shechina coming to the Klal Yisrael through the Mishkan, that's taka a testimony. That's an Eidos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us. Why? She'ein echadar etzel sono kiim etzel ha'ohev. A person will not live with someone they hate. Ask my first roommate in yeshiva. A person will not live with someone they hate. They will kick them out. They will not be able, they will pack their bags for them and kick them out. Even if they're a Nebuch French guy with wooden shoes. They will still do it to them because they dislike them. They can't get along with them. It's a story for another time. They can't get along with them. They'll kick them out. They're not going to live with them. The Shechina residing with us, having a Mishkan. What's wrong? You guys all wear French wooden shoes or something? Everyone seems so offended.
I just want to know if he packed you up nice.
He literally wore wooden shoes. It's annoying, except for on Tisha B'Av, he was the only guy who was comfortable. You know what I'm saying? But it is weird, though. So if you don't like a guy, you're going to get rid of him. You can't live with him. Says the Kaddish Baruch Hu, I'm back. I love you. I forgive you. How do I show that? Not by giving the Torah, which is necessary, but by giving you a Mishkan, which is Hashra'as Hashchina, which shows I reside with you, which shows I'm with you. My divine presence is always going to rest with you. That's a real forgiveness. That's the Kaddish Baruch Hu showing us that He loves us, that He cares for us, that He's still there with us, that He forgives us. Now, we should get the message that Torah is an ol, we should get the message that Torah is necessary, we should get the message that Torah is serious, not all fun and games. However, we do have to realize that doesn't mean that Torah is not something we get a geshmak from. It doesn't mean Torah is not something we do enjoy. It doesn't mean that Torah is not something that we get pleasure from. If you look in the next source, this is something we can't, it's almost embarrassing to try to read it inside because this is a maral that we can't streamline. Perek Vav in Tiferes Yisrael is after a buildup of five prakim, and it's the beginning of a continuation of something that's very deep and philosophical and very important in the maral. The whole beginning and much of Tiferes Yisrael is discussing Taimei HaMitzvos, which is such a deep philosophical concept. The Rambam spent 25 plus chapters of Mor Nevuchim talking about Taimei HaMitzvos. This is not a simple thing. We can't streamline it. The Maharal here is developing why he disagrees with the Ramban and the Rambam about Taimei HaMitzvos. So this is not something we could just parachute into. But I want you to see some of the wording over here. What the Maharal tells us is that it's absolutely not true that the mitzvos were given to us to enjoy. He says that. It can't be that the mitzvos are given to us to enjoy. It can't even be that the mitzvos were given to us to be better or to be good or to have goodness. It can't be. That's not why it was given to us. Because it wasn't given to us for us. It was given to us, so to speak, for Hashem, through Hashem, by Hashem. It was from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and only for Him, not for us. There's no other way to say it. He proves that from things like mitzvos lav lehenos nitnu. We know the halacha is that a person, and this has halachic implications, but the goal of mitzvos, are there more on the shtender over here or no? The goal of it, then you know what, next time, you know, get it. The goal of mitzvos is not to enjoy them. That has halachic applications, implications, it matters. The goal of mitzvos is not to enjoy them. However, that being said, says the Maharal, once the Ribono Shalom said to do mitzvos, and once there are these gezeros that the Melech said you have to do because he said so, and that's the reason, not because of your benefit, but now that you do them, there will be benefits. Now that you do them, there will be good things that come from it. Now that you do them, you'll be fulfilling the will of the Ribono Shalom. That will lead to Tov, the ultimate good will come from this. So it's true that the motivation for mitzvos is not lehenos nitnu. The motivation is not that we should enjoy and get a geshmak, but it will be a tangential benefit. That will be something we gain from it. It will become ultimate and a beautiful pleasure that comes from doing mitzvos and living a life of Torah and mitzvos through keeping the Torah, but that's not the driving factor. The goal of the Torah is that it's an ol, it's a necessity that we have to keep, and that's why the Maharal says it's not a proof that HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgives us. We need the Mishkan, the Hashras HaShchina, His presence with us, living with us, having a dira by us, is how we know that He ultimately forgave us. Mishkan HaEdus. One other complicating factor, this is going to be a loose end, but there are places in the Maharal that Rav Hartman doesn't, as far as I noticed, doesn't reference this, but if you look in the Maharal, you look on your own time, in Parshas Emor, in Perek Chavdal, in Vayikra, so I'm just going to read the words to you and you'll see why it's a problem. The Maharal says, Ein raim zeh shaluchos heim edus, de menadlan de ha-shechina adayim b'Yisrael, de shema ein od ha-shechina b'Yisrael. Here the Maharal says that the luchos could have been edus, that the shechina is with Yisrael, but it's only a proof that the Shechina came to Israel then. Doesn't prove that the Shechina is still with Israel. Achashta al yidei ner maravi, etc. That's fine. V'haluchos heim edus ben HaKadosh Baruch Hu ben Yisrael. The luchos are a testimony. Sharei adayin HaShechina b'Yisrael. That the Shechina is with us. So I don't know what to do with this yet. But the Maharal here in Parshas Emor does say that on some level the luchos are a proof, are a testimony to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina is with us. So I don't know if the idea is that once you have a Mishkan, and the luchos are the driving force of the Kedusha in the Mishkan, and they are the whole Ikar HaMishkan, as the Ramban tells us in his introduction to Parshas Truma, then the luchos can serve as an edus like the Mishkan. I don't know if you have to put the two things together, but you have to look into this Maharal, how it fits.
Why can't that Maharal just be saying, the luchos are the proof that Hashem chose Bnei Yisrael as the nation where His Shechina is going to be, right? It doesn't mean that they're there. So you chose your wife. You guys are married, right? We know
yes.
that, right? But you may, but you could get into
technically, Rebbetzin and Sobolovsky actually chose my wife for me. Yeah.
Like, which you could be, you could get into a fight. And you
right.
Could, you know,
right.
somewhere else.
Right.
You're not together now.
Right.
Married,
right. 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 Okay, maybe. So we'll see. Maybe that's the way to fit it together. So the other thing is, Maharal here doesn't explicitly say that this is a proof that there was mechila or slicha. It's just proof that the Shechina is there. But here the Maharal is saying those two things are synonymous, that the Shechina being there shows slicha, shows mechila. So you have to see how they fit together. Okay. The second idea the Maharal says here in the same Maharal, if you look in the bold third line with the underline, ve'od. He says the second answer over ve'od. Ki kasher Yisrael asu es ha'egel, hoyu kamo isha shemizana tachas baila. When the Klal Yisrael did the Chet HaEgel, they were like a adulterous woman. Basically, they had a husband, they had a Kadosh Baruch Hu they were married to, and they were a Mezana. They went and were with another god, and they were making this Chet HaEgel, a terrible, terrible Avera. And that's the type of Avera that people don't always get back together over. Vein heker shenisrat alahem, elakasher haya shchinaso b'neihem. The only way to know for sure that they were back together, were back in love, there was forgiveness, there was ultimate slicha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us back, was when He brought His Shechina to us. Vim kein nirek hi lo nitmu. By bringing the Shechina back home, by coming back home and saying, I want to live with you, I want to be back together with you, He shows that, you know what? No, you were never nitma. You were never adulterous. I don't believe in it. I don't believe in that chet. It didn't happen. Rak erev rav, heim she'asu v'garmali Yisrael lachto. This is a fascinating line in the Maharal, which needs a lot more time also. Big stance on kuzaris and rambans and rambams. There's so much talk about in terms of the chet ha'ego. But the Maharal here seems, I'm not going to spend time on this, seems to imply that ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that He doesn't blame us for the Chet HaEgel. You have to explain a lot of years of tragedies that are due to our Chet HaEgel, and there's some way to compromise those two things, put them together, that we're not fully accountable. You know, you have to figure it out. It wasn't as nus, it was something else. But the Maharal is saying that we're less accountable than we thought, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu feels we weren't nistame, we weren't sullied by that chet. Rather, it was the bad influence of the era of Rav. They were the ones who did this Avera, but we didn't really do the Avera, and therefore He's comfortable coming back home. He's comfortable living with us. He's comfortable coming back and setting His Shechina upon us. Very interesting idea by the Maharal over here. The other interesting thing I think to point out over here is that you'll notice in the Maharal that what he's saying is that the Mishkan is the proof that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is close to us, that the Shechina is there. The Mishkan is the proof that His Shechina is there. What question is he answering here? He's asking, why weren't the luchos a good enough proof? So in the first answer, he said, because the luchos were necessary. That's not love, you know, or slicha. Fundamentally, it's a necessity that you have to have the Torah. Here he's not saying what the answer is, meaning why couldn't the luchos accomplish this? Why couldn't giving us the luchos show that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is close to us? So from here you see from the Maharal, a gevaldig yesod, a very important yesod, a very frightening yesod. A person can learn Torah. A person can be involved in shirim. A person can do the daf yomi. A person can be plugged in to Talmud Torah and not feel a closeness to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And not feel a kirva to the Ribbono Shel Olam. You hear that? The Rav David Soloveitchik used to say, I read this in the biography, that the biography they published, right, it was unbelievable. The author of these biographies, Meller, he's prolific. Every time he sneezes, a book comes out. It's crazy. So he was literally within a year of the Yahrzeit. Maybe at the Yahrzeit, he already had a full 500-page book in Hebrew, gorgeous book in Hebrew on Rav David Soloveitchik printed. Now, Beagle hasn't just sent me 2 weeks ago. They just came out with a second volume. How is it possible? So, and it's the same size, and it's great. Great pictures, too, if anyone's interested in the pictures. So, so in the first volume, though, I think I remember that they wrote, that Meller wrote, that Dov Soloveitchik used to say, that we say in tefillah every day, Hashivenu avinu l'sar secha, v'karvenu malkeinu l'vada secha. So Rav David used to say, isn't that repetitive? Hashivenu avinu l'sar secha, bring us, you know, back to your Torah, v'karvenu avinu l'sar secha. And bring us close to you, Hashem, bring us close to your avodah. What do you mean? Bring us to the Torah that is close to you. So he says, no, you see from here, a person can learn Torah, and still, un eivishter nishkenin. Even so, he doesn't know the Ribbono Shel Olam. He doesn't know the Ribbono Shel Olam. Even if he's learning, he doesn't feel close. He doesn't feel the Shechina close to him. If it's an intellectual pursuit, if it's interesting, if it's entertaining, so it's a subject. And it's a good subject. It's better than going to other things at night. It's great. It's wonderful. It's nice to come and learn. That's great. But you're missing something. The Mishkan was a place of Shechina. Once you have a Mishkan, once you have a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, once you learn Torah in that way, the Torah can also be a Mishkan. The Torah can also be Eidus. The Torah can also be a Hashras HaShechina. We learned in Parsha, I don't remember now, I think Parsha Struma, we learned the Medrash that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that I'm given with the Torah. Ki lekach toiv nasati lachem. I gave you me with the Torah. I come along with the Torah. I come along with the Schaira. The Torah comes along. Through a Talmud Torah, but that has to be something that we generate. That has to be a relationship that we invest in. If we don't invest in it, then it's just an intellectual pursuit. So says the Maharal here that the only true proof, necessarily, definitely, that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is with us is through a Mishkan. But of course, we can take the Torah and turn it to that as well. We just have to learn the Torah in the right way. It can't be an intellectual pursuit. It can't just be mathematics. It has to be something that's part of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Hashivenu avinu l'sar secha, v'karvenu malkeinu l'avodah secha. Look in source number 2. We have the famous machlokas between Bezalel and Moshe Rabbeinu. The pasuk tells us, the very next pasuk, Bezalel ben Uri ben Chur lematei Yehuda. Why does the pasuk list his whole lineage here? Is look at the Meshech Chachma. Asa is kol asher tziba Hashem as Moshe. So the pasuk says that Bezalel did whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe to do. So Rashi makes a diak. You have the Rashi here on the bottom. Asher tziba Moshe ein ksiv kan. Doesn't say that he did everything that Hashem commanded. That he commanded Moshe, Ela kol asher tziva Hashem es Moshe, right? Not just what Moshe told him to do, rather what Hashem commanded Moshe to do. So Bezalel did whatever Hashem commanded Moshe to do, not what Bezalel did whatever Moshe commanded Bezalel to do. What's going on? Afilu dvarim shlo amar lo rabo, even things that Moshe didn't tell him to do. Hiskima daito lamash nemar Moshe misinai. He chapped, he figured out what to do based on his own intuition. So much so that it was what Moshe Rabbeinu was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki Moshe tziva li Bezalel lasos tchila kelim v'achakach mishkan. Moshe Rabbeinu told Bezalel, hey, first build the kelim, then build the mishkan around it. Amar lo Bezalel, minag olam lasos tchila bayis v'achakach mesim kelim besocho. What do you mean? The real way to do things is you build a house, and then you put the kelim inside. Amar lo, kach shamati mi pi HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he says, no, that's, so Moshe Rabbeinu says, you're right. You got it right. I got it wrong. That's how I heard from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amar lo Moshe Bezalel kel Aisa. You know, were you there? Were you listening in on the prophecy? So that's what happened. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, do the kelim first, then do the building. Bezalel said, no way. And Moshe says, you're right. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me. I got it wrong. I messed it up. And they built it the correct way, the way Hashem said. So the Maharal, if you flip the page, in Gur Aryeh Os Hey, the Maharal says, Vim Tomar, Umoshe Lama Lo Tziva L'Asas Mishkan Kol Dem, meaning, weird, right? Moshe Rabbeinu usually gets things right. What happened over here that Moshe Rabbeinu commanded to do things the opposite way and ostensibly the wrong way? Does that really make any sense? Moshe Rabbeinu made a mistake? What's going on over here? So Maharal says something very fascinating. Very, very fascinating. Yesh lomar, de Moshe haya makdim es ha-kelim, de hari ha-kelim him chashuvim min ha-mishkan. He says that Moshe Rabbeinu specifically commanded that they build the kelim first, the instruments inside first, Because those are the more fundamental, more critical, more important parts of the Mishkan, because they're used in the service, in the avoda of the Mishkan itself, and he proves this from who carried which parts of the Mishkan. V'yesh lahaskel be'ikar. And when a person teaches something, they should always start with the most important part, and then build out the details afterwards. So even though we look at it as the house is the most important, and the things inside are the details, in the Mishkan, the kelim are the most important part. They're the things that do the avoda, and the house is sort of the detail of just where do we house all this stuff, what do we do with all this stuff. The underline, but in actual, you know, action, in building, in construction of the Mishkan, yesh lahakdim es haMishkan. Meaning Moshe is right in a theoretical world. The more important things are the kelim. But what's in a practical world, Bob the builder, when he gets there and does this, what does he do first? He builds the edifice. He builds the building on the outside and then puts the things on the inside. When you put on your thinking cap, so you want to build the kelim first. When you put on your hard hat, right? Then you want to build the Mishkan first, right? A practical builder is going to build the edifice first. Ulefikach Betzalel, asher haya memuna al hamaisa. Betzalel was the construction worker. He was the one on the ground. He was the one hammering in the nails. So he got the idea from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hey, build the Mishkan first, because that's practically the correct thing to do. Ava Moshe dahaya memuna al halimud bilvad. Moshe's job was what? Not to build, but to teach. To teach the Kal Yisrael, to teach Betzalel, to build the Mishkan, and how to build the Mishkan. V'hayodeya tziur ha-Mishkan. He was teaching the idea of the Mishkan, he wasn't giving you the IKEA guide, which is much more worthless than a cryptic nevuah, but he wasn't giving you a IKEA guide on how to build a Mishkan. He was giving you the idea of the Mishkan. He was teaching the yesod of the Mishkan. He was teaching the picture of the beauty and the theory of the Mishkan. Zehu an limud ein yitzich yitzaveh. This is the way to teach it. Hischel b'kelim t'chila. Here is the most important part of the Mishkan, the kelim. That's what he was saying to Betzalel. These kelim are the most important thing. And Betzalel says, okay, aval inin ha'asiya ma'yakdim b'maisa nishkachem enu. But you forgot one thing. You're in charge of the teaching. I'm in charge of the lemaisa. And you forgot that in terms of the lemaisa, in terms of the actual building, the right way to do it is to turn it around, to flip it on its head, and to do it from the outside in, not from the inside out. A brilliant shot by the Maharal. So you see over here something, two things that are beautiful. Rabbi Hartman points out both of them. I want to expand on one of them. The first thing Rabbi Hartman points out in his footnotes over here is that you see very beautifully, and this we could talk about a lot, is that people have different roles. Moshe Rabbeinu, the leader of Klal Yisrael, had a very specific role over here. And Betzalel himself had a very specific role over here. This machlokas was really just a one of perspectives. They each had their role to play. They therefore each had their perspective on the situation. They weren't arguing, they weren't fighting. They were just seeing only half of the equation together. They were able to put it together because they needed both pieces. But each person has his own role. Each person has his own thing that he's assigned to, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu specifically tasks him with. That's first of all. Second of all, though, is here's something amazing that Rabbi Hartman points to a few sources. All of the following three sources are from Rabbi Hartman in his footnotes. The Be'er HaGola and the Ner Mitzvah and in Netzach Yisrael. In all these places, the Maharal explains very beautifully, and each one's beautiful. You'll read it on your own time. He explains that Shechecha always comes from something not being the Iker. If something is the Iker, if something is absolutely important to you, if something is crucial, if something is critical, if something is always in front of your eyes, you will not forget it. You can't forget your right hand. It's always there. It's impossible to forget it. If Rachman al Tzom, someone lost their right hand, they could forget about it because they forgot what it's like to have. You can't forget. It's right staring at you in the face all the time. There's no way to forget it. Im eshkachech Yerushalayim tishkach yemini, says the Maharal in Netzach Yisrael. You can't forget Yerushalayim. Why? Because Yerushalayim is the Iker. It's supposed to be in front of us all the time. It's on our minds all the time. What do you mean it's on our minds all the time? It's like our right hand. Im eshkachech Yerushalayim tishkach yemini. Would you forget your right hand? No. Why? Because there. It's with you all the time. It's always in front of you. You don't forget things that are most important to you. Things which are tangential, things which are outside of you, things which are external, things which are not so related to you, easy come, easy go. You see them, you think about them, you forget about them afterwards. But if something sticks, it sticks because it's important. And if something is important, it'll stick forever. You know, they say about Rav Moshe Feinstein, a story. I heard this first from Rav Meiselman 9 years ago, I forget already, in a recording, that he said the story. It might be a famous story, but I heard it from him, so he gets the credit. That they asked Rav Moshe Feinstein was a gain ha-gainim. I mean, he's just, I don't need to explain it to you. He was the biggest in the world. He could learn anyone under the table. So he had this memory that was just impeccable. He used to learn Gemara up and down, meaning to save time, he would learn the Gemara from top to bottom. But he would read the Rashi's from bottom to top, just to save time. Why go back to the top? He would read from the bottom to top. But he held cup in the Gemara from the top and then read back from the bottom Rashi's. I mean, it's not explainable, you know, Ramesha. So they asked him about his memory, how it's possible. So he said he doesn't think it's a big feat. He doesn't think it's such a big feat. He said, do you ever see the Twin Towers? That was the mashal that I heard it as. You ever see the Twin Towers? The guy said, yeah, I've seen the Twin Towers. He said, you ever going to forget what you saw? So he said, no, I mean, it was like unbelievable. I've never seen such a thing. I'll never see such a thing again. Like, how could I forget what I saw? Have you ever seen a perfect sunset? Yeah, I've seen a perfect sunset. You ever going to forget it? No. What do you mean? Even in 10 years? Even in 15 years? Yeah. So he said, every Rashi is like that. Every Gemara is like that. If every Rashi is your geschäft, if every Rashi is your business, if every Rashi is ikar, if every Gemara is important, if every pasuk and chumash is meaningful and ikar and crucial to you, then there's no shikha. It's impossible to forget. That's what the Maharal is telling us. You can't forget something that's so important to you. The way to remember, it's not... There's no memory tricks. That's a fallacy. You could read the books and you could try all the tricks. They've been tried and they don't work. The way to remember things is either to review and therefore build it into your memory, but more than just review is always be reviewing. And if you're always reviewing, you don't have to remember. It's just always in front of you. They say about the Ragashavar that he had this fantastic memory that no one could understand how he could remember everything. And the Rameir Simcha, who was his co-rabbi, so to speak, in Dvinsk, would say he doesn't have the best memory in the world. He just learns Shas like every day. So if it's always in front of him, it's not such a big deal to remember it. It's always there. It's always with him. That's one way to remember something, is keep it in front of you all the time. It's a great suggestion. You should definitely do that. The other thing you can do is you fall in love with the things you're learning. Fall in love with the things you're doing, and they won't be forgotten. Mini, would you forget your right hand? It wouldn't happen. You wouldn't forget something that's so crucial, so important to you. We'll end with this. A story Evan's already heard, but on Purim a few years ago, so my minhag was always to host the Suda in the Heights, and the Bacharim would all come. David's been there. That's an exception. I don't remember much from those Sudas, but even though I love them very much, it's still hard to remember. But those are great great times in Washington Heights. So one of the minhagim was that we'd embark up to Rabbi Simon's apartment. I don't know if you came along for that. We would embark up to Rabbi Simon's apartment, and like there were different minhagim. I would FaceTime my shver with Rabbi Simon. It was a whole matzav. So one time we were sitting there, and we were like singing, talking, whatever. And someone asked Rabbi Simon, how do you remember so much? How do you remember all the Torah? He's a fantastic memory, Rabbi Simon. So Rabbi Simon said, memory is not about me, and it's not about being smart. I love what I learn. If I love what I learn, I remember it. If you really, really love what you learn, you remember it. So I remember I was a little loose. So I said, how do you memorize the table of contents? Because he always knows what's in every sefer. He's always if you're giving a shir, he says, oh, look at whatever page, whatever. How do you remember the table of contents of the sefer? So he said, let's sing a zemer. okay, maybe he loves table of contents. If you love it enough, you'll remember it. But the point is, the Maharal is saying something that's ikar, something that's main for you, something that's crucial for you, fundamental for you, won't be forgotten. That's what happened by Moshe Rabbeinu. His main tafkid in life was to teach the tzura of the Mishkan. So he didn't remember the order of the asiya. It wasn't ikar to him. But Tzal, the ikar was the asiya. So that's the way he remembered it. If we make things the ikar, we'll remember them. If things are not the ikar, then they'll be forgotten to us. Okay, everyone should have a wonderful Shabbos, and we should remember to do mitzvos and to come to hear of Sabalovsky, the various opportunities over Shabbos. Everyone have a wonderful Shabbos.